we are in the right frequency. Do you believe
that's
in
the,
that?
That's the thing. I believe in the frequency. Like, yeah, you and me, like, you know, you said, I feel like I haven't known you for a long time.
Yeah.
I feel the same shit. Like, I got this job because the guy who hired me, he's a really good guy, by the way, Sanjay, the big boss, he said the same thing. Like, I like you. I like what you are. I like your frequency. And I think we clicked onto that.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like,
but it's not. But the thing is, before you take the leap, it's scary as hell. But after you've done it, always easy. Same thing with the bar. Like yesterday was my first day. Person comes, I'm taking his order, I'm trying to put the numbers, but my hand is shaking because I'm stressed out, right?
Yeah.
But after 5 minutes, I'm all good. No, I. You just do it. Push yourself to your uncomfortable zone, because if you're gonna stay where you're comfortable, then nothing, you're not gonna learn anything because you're already comfortable. But if you push yourself to where you are uncomfortable, then that's how you learn, then that's how things got easy. It's okay to feel fear, because if you don't feel fear when you jump, what's the point of jumping? You didn't achieve anything, right?
Yeah.
You fear and then you jump and then you do it and then you feel great.
Yeah.
So it's okay to be scared. It's okay to be feel alone. It's okay. If those feelings didn't exist, then you know the joy of life wouldn't be there either.
Yeah. Like, what's
if
the
you
point?
Don't have a hard time, what's the point of having a good time? Because you don't know how valuable it is.
Yeah.
You to be happy.
You can't value like the light if you don't know darkness. Kind of.
Yeah. That kind of philosophy. I said I like Turkey. Yes, but there's a lot of things I don't like about Turkey too. Mm. But if you were to ask me, if you were to come again to this life, for example, would you like become American, Swedish, whatever?
I think I
would
still
choose Turkey. Yeah. But since when I started first grade, we moved a lot as a family. And when you're a kid, I was really introverted, right? I was really shy. But since you are changing schools, and every time you need to say goodbye to your friends and you go to a new place, like, you're always the new guy, you know? Like, the teacher introduces you, oh, this is the new guy, and everybody knows each other, but you don't know any of them. Yeah. So basically, you learn to adapt and to get more extroverted. So yeah, we moved a lot. I changed like 12 schools.
12 schools?
Yeah, from grade one.
Right.
And basically what changed my life drastically was when I decided to go to Canada when I was 16. And again, it wasn't like it was planned. It came out of nowhere. And I didn't even know that if my English level was enough to pass the exam to do it.
Yeah.
So basically, we went to the exam with a baggage, because if I wasn't going to be passing the exam, we were going to go on holiday.
Wow.
Yeah, but I passed it and then my family left. I went back to our home and get the documents ready to quickly apply the visa and stuff, and I went to Canada. So it was a drastic change in my life.
So I guess your upbringing is different than the rest of the Turkish people. Do you feel that?
Yeah, I can do.
Do you feel like an alien sometimes?
It's basically not really, but it's sometimes you feel like. It always happens to some people in different levels, but sometimes you feel like people can't really understand you because you've been in different places and you lived a different life. So I kind of do sometimes.
Yeah. And the most important question, like, as a Turkish, do you like Turkey?
I do.
You do?
I do like Turkey.
You know why I think you like Turkey from my perspective is because you've been outside.
It might be, but
no?
the thing is, so I said I like Turkey, yes, but there's a lot of things I don't like about Turkey too. Mm. But if you were to ask me, if you were to come again to this life, for example, would you like become American, Swedish, whatever? I think I would still choose Turkey. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that I will live here for the rest of my life. I want to travel like what you do, you know, just go see different places. But in the end, the Turkey is my comfort zone, I think.
Yeah. One of my wishes right now is to be able to speak Turkish fluently. because speaking to Turkish people is interesting. You know, I'm so lucky to meet you right now because you speak good English.
Yeah.
And we can communicate. Like, I can really understand what you're saying. Oh shit. And I don't have to slow down what I say.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when I slow down what I say,
so it's quick information flow.
Yeah.
Through.
Yes. And when I slow down what I say, I get like, oh man, I'm tired already after 2 minutes of slowing down.
Yes.
So I choose not to further the conversation.
Uh-huh. And the signal is getting lost too in the process, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you lose the feeling too. Yeah.
I think in a way you're so lucky to be you.
Yeah.
First of all, you're Turkish. I think it's a good thing. But most of the Turkish people, they don't realize that, of course, right? We don't realize where the good thing about our country.
Yes, because you can see yourself from outside.
From outside looking in. Exactly, man. And then another thing is, you seem like a good guy. In your eyes, like, there's clarity.
Thanks, man.
And also, you're studying medicine, bro.
Yeah, that's the thing.
How come?
Well,
what made that happen? How do you decide on medicine?
Like, ever since when I started school, like, my educational, academical level was all right, you know. I could pass the exam, it was all right. And my dad is a doctor, so he's kind of an inspiration too. But it's not like, oh, my dad is a doctor, I need to be a doctor. It wasn't like that. It's basically more like, I know I can do it. And people respect the job. It's a great job. And in Turkey, there is this idea of, you need to become a doctor or you need to become a lawyer. And I knew that I could do it. And I actually like it. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. If you don't like medicine, you can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, I finished my high school in Canada, right? I applied to universities there. I was going around between engineering and medicine. You couldn't do medicine in Canada before you get a bachelor degree. It's okay. A stupid system.
Right.
You need to study 4 years of university. It doesn't have to be about medicine at all.
This is only applies in Canada?
Canada and in America too, I think.
Wow.
So you need to get a bachelor degree. Just finish university and get a good GPA,
mm-hmm.
high score. And then apply to medicine university.
Which
and then study 6 years.
6 years. So,
and after do 2 years of
specialization.
Yeah.
Damn, son.
So that's stupid, right?
Yeah.
And you gotta pay for the university too, like it in Turkey. Basically, a lot of people don't really talk about it, but we don't pay for the university. If you go to a government university,
it's free.
It's right? free. It's not free in Canada. It's mm-hmm. not free in America.
Yeah,
it's a bless actually. You know, and basically, I applied to engineering. I got accepted, but. Turkish currency fell down,
mm-hmm.
the economy got worse, and you know, it's expensive to live in Canada. So I looked around, we looked around, what can I do? I wanted medicine, I wanted to study in English, I wanted it to be cheap, and if it could be close to Turkey, it would be great.
Mm.
And all those four things, only one country had all those four things, and it was Russia.
Wow.
And my cousin actually was studying there at the time.
Medicine as well.
And
wow.
He said, come here. And I went there. So that's how I started doing medicine.
Damn, was it a culture shock going to Russia? Because I think from my perspective, like Turkish people are more warm in a sense. Mm-hmm. Or more slightly more friendly.
Well, it was more of a cultural shock when I first went to Canada.
Ah.
Right? The thing that I wasn't expecting was I was thinking, I knew Russians didn't know English that well, but I wasn't thinking that they weren't knowing it that much. Like they're worse. They can't speak.
They don't know English at all, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, kind of. Like for example, I'm asking them, mm-hmm. do you speak English?
Mm-hmm.
And they answer you in Russian,
mm.
a little bit. So then you understand, you know, they can't even say a little bit or with an accent, a little bit, they just say chut chut, you know. So, yeah.
So you have felt it all, man. You are open-minded because of the places that you've been.
Yes, that's true. And it's basically, you know, you go to a different place. Like even in Turkey, I moved.
Mm-hmm.
And the the culture in Turkey changes a lot compared to other countries. For example, in Canada, I went to two different places, two different provinces in 2 years. I changed school there too. And it's not that different.
Yeah.
But in Turkey, it is.
Yeah.
So every time you go, you need to adapt. And in order to adapt, you need to observe and, you know, to learn from it. And it pushes you to be open-minded, even though if you're not, because you need to survive and you need to be likable. So you try to see what you like and to become that person. So that's what I try.
So you have that skill in you right now. It's ingrained.
Yeah.
That's how you actually adapt here.
Yes, and it doesn't come naturally to me, but it comes to other people, and I'm really jealous of them. The fuckers, they don't even need to, you know.
They don't try.
They don't try. They just are that person. They're outgoing. They're social. But I don't think I am inside, but I do force myself to become one.
Mm-hmm.
And you spend some energy, but it's okay. It's learnable.
Mm-hmm. What was the greatest lesson that you learned from your dad, bro?
My dad?
Yeah, he seems like a sort of like a solid, responsible family man, I think.
Well, it's...
From how you described him.
Tried to taught me to how to stand alone, myself, on my own feet.
Independent.
Independent, yes. And again, I had difficulties in family, everyone does.
Mm-hmm.
But he did help me a lot, sending me to Canada. He made choices that he thought was better for me that I couldn't see at the time.
Mm.
And he knew that I will be saying, I wasn't agreeing with you that time, but now I do and I'm thankful for it. And he knows that.
Mm. You are what you are today is because of him.
My relationship with my family is it's quite complex.
Mm-hmm.
But I really love them.
Mm-hmm.
I love my mom. And I was really, really, really close with my mom when I was a kid.
Mm.
And it wasn't like a relationship between a mom and a kid, but more like friends.
Mm.
We would talk, and in her bedtime, she would come and, you know, we would talk about bad stuff and how we feel about it. And it made me grow too. When she had a bad time about difficult stuff.
Right, difficulties.
Like, in this COVID time, I'm interested in psychology.
Nice.
And when you think about psychology, what shapes you to become what to become who you are, the childhood has a lot of impact on it.
Yeah.
And I started thinking about my childhood because I had a free time. And when I look back, I don't think that all of it was healthy to discuss this grown-up stuff with your kid, like who's a child. It may be tough on... I think it was tough on me, but it also made me more...
Mature.
Mature, yes.
Yeah.
It feels like sometimes you may be alone, but I feel like I have this luck.
Yeah.
I don't know how it works, but I don't know. Back in the day, I was more like a scientific guy. Mm-hmm. I didn't believe in, you know, there is
like mystical stuff.
Mystical shit and all that kind of stuff. But fuck, like this recently, like I'm looking at my life.
Yeah.
And, you know, I said I changed 12 schools.
Uh-huh.
And every time when I went to a school, my class was the best one. I met the best people. Of course, there was bad stuff too, but I got help somehow.
Yeah.
Even though this job, my the COVID stuff when I was in Russia, because of COVID, I came to Turkey to an Istanbul university, which is like the best medicine university in Turkey. I applied to, I don't know, like 40 universities in Turkey. None of them accepted me. It's a whole another big story. But not a one accepted me. Just the bad ones. There is more to it, but basically the Istanbul University Çapa accepted me afterwards.
Mm.
Like how come it works, you know?
Yeah.
It's the best university in Turkey. The other ones doesn't accept you, but the best one accepts you. How come it
works? That's just law of attraction.
And when I was in Russia, when me and my friends were applying, I joked about it saying, imagine if you go to Çapa, you know?
Yeah.
And I didn't even know that I applied there. I didn't even know that I was accepted. And my friend called me and said, you're in Chapa. Did you see it? And I was like, holy shit, I didn't. I didn't even know about it.
Yeah.
And I was the one who came to Chapa. My other friends also came, but they didn't.
I remember you say you like psychology, right?
Yes.
And what do you think that is, though? Is that all like qadar? Is that all destiny? Or do you think because you said it, it happened? You manifested it. It's law of attraction.
I don't think there is something written that you're gonna, because it's boring to believe, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's boring to believe you don't have control of your life. But I believe that if you want something, stuff happens to you. If you and it happened to me. It happens to my father, and you can't really explain it, but it happens. And also, you know, there is this world and there's this endless of possibilities. So maybe if you want to get something, all those possibilities maybe clicks and it happens. I don't know, I can't explain it, but it does.
Yeah.
I just don't like to believe in something and say, oh, this is how it works. But I like the idea of a couple of them and, you know, put my fate on all of it.
Yeah, why not, right?
Yeah,
there's a truth.
Why just choose one?
There's a truth in a lot of things in life.
Yeah.
You know, if you choose to believe one, what's the point?
Yeah.
You know, you sort of...
It evolves, right?
You sort of put yourself in a box.
Yes, yes. And it evolves. Like, what you believe evolves.
Yeah, true.
Also.
Yeah, man. And also being at the right place at the right time. I don't know. I feel the same way, man. I feel lucky as well. And when you say you feel lucky, and a friend of mine used to say he feels lucky, I think... we are in the right frequency. Do you believe
that's
in that?
That's the thing. I believe in the frequency. Like, yeah. You and me, like, you know, you said, I feel like I haven't known you for a long time.
Yeah.
I feel the same shit. Like, I got this job because the guy who hired me, he's a really good guy, by the way, Sanjay, the big boss, he said the same thing. Like, I like you. I like what you are. I like your frequency. And I think we clicked. And I felt the same thing, too.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, when I was younger, I was really trying to fit in with the bad boys, you know? Like, I felt like, man, why am I so, like, nice?
Yes.
You know? And as I grew up, then I realized, damn, we are what we are. Yeah. What do you like most about Turkey, man?
I like the people.
The people.
The people, yeah.
It must be interesting to be able to talk to everyone and get different perspective because of the language, you know?
I have been only in two countries. I've
cities,
been in
Istanbul.
No. It's just Russia and Canada I'm talking about. I feel like I know Russian people, and I feel like I know Canadians more
than Turkish.
No. Compared to, for example, I went to Egypt, but I don't know Egyptian people that much, you know, because I've been only there for 2 weeks or whatever. But I stayed in Canada 2 years. I stayed in Russia 1 year. It's not always works all the time, but it makes you a great idea of typical Russian people or typical Canadian people. And I also live in Turkey, right? I feel like Turkish people are more unique in a way. I feel like they are closer. They try to help. Russians do also too, but I feel like there is more openness, and you don't play cards with Turkish people. I feel like everyone does in a way, but I feel like the Turkish people does it less.
There's no ulterior motives.
No,
there's
no like. You just feel closer, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no bullshit.
No.
Yeah. What are your other interests, man, apart from studying, apart from being a student? What are the skills that you wish you had or you're kind of interested in?
Well, I do like scuba diving.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm a diver.
Nice.
I like it. I feel like it's without going to another planet, you live the experience of living in another planet. That's how I feel like. Because there is zero G, right? You're in water.
Yeah.
And you can flip, you can turn, you see fishes who are like aliens, basically, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a whole another atmosphere. So I like scuba diving. Yeah.
Cool. Swimming, right? Swimming is an art form, I feel. Because, to be honest, bro, use me and build me a room. I don't know how to swim, and I try to ask people theoretically, how
do you swim?
How do you float?
How do you float?
Yeah, because swimming, okay, I understand it, right? You push the water with your legs.
How do you float?
How do you float? How would you explain it if in easy terms?
Well, you don't need to do anything. Just stay calm.
Yeah.
And basically, when you think about it, think about a ball. Which you play in beaches. What do you call them?
Volleyball.
A beach ball, volleyball, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they don't sink, right? They have water in it.
Okay. Marco the Polo.
They have air in it, right?
All right, right, right. Okay.
And your lungs are basically airbags.
Mm.
You breathe. You stay calm, and you don't sink. You float. You don't need to do anything, basically.
So you just have to breathe.
Yeah, you need to control your breath.
Oxygen.
And, like, basically, you can stay like this and you're gonna float. You don't need to do anything. But if you know, what you need to do, basically, just if you're not gonna be staying calm and if you wanna move, just move constantly and, you know, push the water down while you're not, like, for example, when you do this, you can't go more down, right? You need to bring it back. But if you bring it like this, you're gonna resist the water.
Mm.
So it's gonna drop you in.
Mm.
So when you're gonna put it up, you need to do it in a way that it doesn't attract the water. Like, you don't go up like this, you go up like this, basically.
Your hands.
And, yeah, your hand. But your brain does it automatically.
For you.
Yeah,
oh.
it does it automatically. Like, I can teach you how to swim, by the way.
Mm.
It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, how I learned it was basically, I was a kid, you know, they put you, they put this on your
float,
arms.
Float.
It was in a car park, and I basically slide on it, and they came off. And I was, you know, just struggling. And then they call it dog swimming. You do like this, cycling, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You do this, and then that's how I learned to swim.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. To stay alive, basically. Not drown to death. Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like,
but it's not. But the thing is, before you take the leap, it's scary as hell. But after you've done it, always easy. Same thing with the bar. Like, yesterday was my first day. So I never held the POS machine, right?
Okay, the cashier.
Yeah, cashier. I never had experience. And, you know, it's my first day. Person comes, I'm taking his order, giving him beer, and I'm trying to put the numbers, but my hand is shaking because I'm stressed out, right?
Yeah.
But after 5 minutes, I'm all good. No, you just do it, push yourself to your uncomfortable zone, because if you're gonna stay where you're comfortable, then nothing, you're not gonna learn anything because you're already comfortable. But if you push yourself to where you are uncomfortable, then that's how you learn. Then that's how things got easy. It's on your mind. You just gotta do it. And, you know, I'm emotional person. And I had this ideology when I first went to Canada. Because, you know, it's not how you expect it to be. I felt like, oh, you're in a, for example, someone comes to Turkey in your high school. Everyone will be asking about him, you know, no matter where he comes from. Like, where do you live? How is it there? Blah, blah, blah. When you go to Canada,
nobody
no one
cares.
Gives a damn.
Shit.
So you gotta go, you gotta talk. And I was, you know, planning on my mind. What can I do? How can I get socialized? You know, little mind games. You think about it and you do it. So, and you gotta do it fearlessly. You gotta do it like you're a machine, basically. That's what I was thinking before. But now, when I think, I felt I tried to be emotionless to get efficient at stuff, right? Because when you're scared, your mind goggles away. You're not thinking straight. You're not thinking efficient. But if you're working like a machine, then you can do those things. But now, I don't think it's a great thing to be not feel stuff. Like, I try to not feel fear, like when I'm, for example, jumping off from somewhere high to a water. You know, I just felt like I'm going to jump. Nothing is going to happen because nothing happened to this person. It's not going to happen to me. But it's hard to jump, right? But then I feel like no fear, jump. But now I'm thinking it's okay to feel fear. Because if you don't feel fear when you jump, what's the point of jumping? You didn't achieve anything, right?
Yeah.
You fear and then you jump. And then you do it. And then you feel great.
Yeah.
So it's okay to be scared. It's okay to be feel alone. It's okay to be, you know, just get excited. But that's... If those feelings didn't exist, then, you know, the joy of life wouldn't be there either.
Yeah, like what's
if
the point?
If you don't have a hard time, what's the point of having a good time? Because you don't know how valuable it is.
Yeah.
You to be happy.
You can't value like the light if you don't know darkness, kind of.
Yeah, that kind of philosophy.
What is your favorite movie, man? You remember?
Yes, Memento is the first one. I really like it. Do you know it?
I don't.
It's about a guy who has this sickness. He has an accident and he forgets stuff. Like he remembers everything until that accident. But after, for example, it changes, but it's around 5 minutes, 3 minutes, an hour, his brain stops making memories. So he does something and then he forgets he done it. Mm-hmm. He's done it. So, yeah. And he's trying to find a killer of his girlfriend or a wife. I don't remember quite well. And basically he's trying to pick up all the clues. But if you don't remember,
you can't.
You lose them, right?
Yeah.
So what he does is he's tattooing himself.
Wow.
Leaving notes. For example, talk with the guy on the phone. There's a guy on the phone who calls him and he's saying, oh, get information from him, whatever. And it's made in a way that you are also forgetting the shit because it jumps from back and forth. But it's such an amazing edit that it works perfectly. So there's this scene that I love. He's basically talking to a guy on the phone. And, you know, he's covered in tattoos because there's a lot of clues. He needs to find a lot of things. And because he doesn't want them to get infection, there's bandages in some of them. So while he's talking, he's removing the bandage. And he says, don't talk to the guy on the phone.
Oh, wow.
And he's talking on the phone. Like, imagine the feeling. You know? Like,
fuck, I have to watch this movie.
I get the feeling. Look. Look
yeah,
at my arm.
Goosebumps.
Yeah, goosebumps. Like,
goddamn.
That's a great scene.
Mine is Shawshank Redemption. Have you seen that?
Yeah, of course.
It's like, this guy's in prison, you know?
Uh-huh.
And it's one of the lines that I remember the most was, doesn't matter what, your life begins in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can take anything from you, but they can't take away your mind.
Yeah, they can put you in prison, but your mind is free to go wherever
anywhere.
Else. Yeah.
So once you get the freedom in your mind, you are a free man.
Yeah.
Crazy.
That's
bro.
What I'm saying about you, because I know that I'm not free man.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I got responsibilities. I gotta study medicine, right?
Mm.
I gotta do that. I'm not free. I'm not free like you. Maybe I want to, for example, like that's the thing. I want to take my backpack and go away.
Mm.
But I'm not free enough. I'm not brave enough to do that, but you are. That's why I look up to you a lot.
Yeah, thanks, bro. But I also think I said this before, it's a chapter.
Yeah, it is. And
I could be an inspiration for you in 3 years' time when you are actually free.
Yeah, and like I said, you never know.
Mm-hmm.
Like 1 year ago, I was in Russia. I was thinking I was gonna study there. 1 year earlier, I was in Canada. I didn't know what the hell I was gonna do. I was gonna do, you know.
Crazy. Man.
And 2 years ago, like even. 3 years ago after that, I was in Turkey. I didn't have any remote idea that I was gonna go to Canada and learn English like the way I'm speaking right now, but it happened. So I people ask me, what are you gonna do in the future, like what are you gonna specialize in medicine?
Yeah.
And I just finished my first grades.
Well,
I did finish it in Russia, but they
you have to repeat
it. They told me to repeat it, so I did anyway. It's not a big deal. And I'm thinking, there's still 5 years. And in 5 years, my life changed drastically.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen in the future. Maybe I'm not going to be a doctor. You never know. Like I said, you never know. The life, it's...
Yeah.
And it's not great to resist. It's to change. You just left yourself. There can be stuff that you want to do. Like I said, I like psychology. Maybe I'm going to be a psychologist. Whatever. Psychiatrist.
Psychiatrist.
Psychiatrist. Yeah, it's different. but maybe I will not. So I say that that's what I like, but you never know.
Yeah, man.
I don't like to plan. Like, there is stuff, don't get me wrong, you need to plan. But not always, because it sucks the fun out of it. If you know what's going to happen in the future, what's the fun thing about living that life, you know?
Yeah, bro.
Like, exactly. It's like watching the movie, but you know the ending of it.
Exactly. There's no thrill in it. There's no...
Yeah.
Unknown is the fun part.
Yes.
You know, most of all, we just want to know everything so much too soon, and then we spoil the fun of it.
That's true. Like, yeah. When I came here, I had plan, right? Mm-hmm. I had to plan it. If I wasn't going to work here, if they didn't accept me, I was going to go to my grandma after mm-hmm. I did my holiday with my dad.
Mm-hmm.
You plan it. But if you come here, I also plan, okay, I pack my stuff with 2 months of, you know, t-shirts, whatever, in case if it happens. But, you know, I wasn't stuck on one thing. And I came here and I work here. It worked out. So you plan it, but not in a way that, you know, it's just, you know everything about it.
Yeah.
You just live it. And if it doesn't happen, I really feel this way. Sometimes in life, you really want something.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't happen. And it makes you feel really bad and you get all upset and depressed about it, but maybe it happened for a reason. Maybe it was better for it to not happen. You just don't know it.
Yeah, man.
You're just a little tiny thing in the universe, right?
Yeah, exactly, bro. Yeah, that's a gem, bro. That's a good one. Because, like, sometimes being a human being, it's hard for us to see it because emotion gets intense. Not gonna lie.
Emotion drives you to what to do what you do.
Yeah.
Sometimes, like, even your mind, you think about it. So I feel like your mind is split up in two things. One of them is emotion, and it's driven by, like, hormones and other shit, and it's basically there for you to survive. And there is your free mind, that what you want to do if without those things. For example, when you're drinking an alcohol, like, drink, you know, it has effect on your mind.
Yeah,
you can do other stuff.
Yeah.
The emotion is the same thing. It drives you. Like, maybe you want this, but it's because of this emotion. You don't know it.
Yeah.
It affects it. But sometimes there is no alcohol. There is not much emotion, like the high pitch of emotions. And your mind is more clear about it, what you want. But sometimes you drink alcohol, you get fear, and it drives what you think of it. You know, it changes how you think.
Yeah.
And that's how I feel like.
Yeah, man. That's a good one, bro. Does that mean, like, certain decisions requires us to be sober, requires us to have higher consciousness too?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I didn't get when I was feeling about, when I was thinking that I should be emotionless. It's great to be emotionless, but it sucks. It sucks the fun out of life. So when you're gonna make a drastic decision, you should put the feelings aside and think and think and sleep and think again and then decide. But not live your whole life without those things. Because those things are the joy of life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a good one, man. It feels like you are an observant person.
Yeah, yeah.
And also at the same time, you are seeking inspiration at the moment. Also giving inspiration. But yeah. It's funny how I think I was right. I don't know how. I think our instinct as a human being, if we sharpen it, we can tell. Remember I said to you, like, I feel like I've known you before, but I just don't remember where.
It's the frequency, you know?
Yeah, there was no...
do you believe in reincarnation?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, kind of. Because I believe in energy. I believe in the universe. But it's a taboo thing to actually admit it. Oh, you don't believe in religion? Oh, are you crazy? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, people can judge you. And also, the majority of the world accepts you better if you say you believe in it. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But truthfully, I believe in the universe. I believe in energy and...
Yeah.
What goes around comes around. Sort of cliche, but karma exists. Yeah.
You do good things happen to you.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if I believe it, because, you know, there's a lot of piece of shits in the world and they get away with it.
Mm-hmm. That's so, what we think. That's what we think,
yeah,
they get away with.
Yeah, that's also true, but.
They can be reincarnated and become a tree and get stuck for 200 years, or I don't know, 2,000 years.
So, if you were to be a tree, would you like to live 2,000 years, or would you like someone to cut you after 20 years? Which one is better, you think?
I think I would like someone to cut me, because when you think about it, I don't know the truth, right? But
yeah.
We think like we cutting trees is doing injustice to the tree, but yeah. Probably the trees are grateful for it. Finally, my time is up.
Maybe they just like to observe too.
Yeah,
you know, stay in 2,000 years, feel the change.
Yeah,
I don't know. I feel like I would rather to stay alive, even though I'm not doing anything. Maybe.
Yeah, we're grateful to be humans, man. Humans are like the best thing that has ever happened to us.
It's fucking crazy what happens in your mind.
Yeah.
It's something else, and it is fucking crazy what your mind is capable of.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever done any psychedelics?
Yeah.
Fuck.
You?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Bro,
after that, I did it in 2020. After I came...
2020?
Yeah.
Same, bro. Probably same time. Wait.
You know, I told you that after all this shit happened to me, I started thinking about... energy, about my luck,
yeah,
like saying things happening to me, what I say. And after LSD, I felt the connection, you know. I feel the shit, man. I feel the shit. It's fucking crazy, and it happens on your mind. Yeah. It already exists here,
yeah,
but it just opens the Pandora's box, you know.
It unlocks
it makes you go out, your brainwaves, whatever the fuck they are. It's fucking crazy.
Yeah. It's interesting, when I was on that trip, that higher being or that spiritual thing or God or whatever you call it told me the world is resetting itself. The year is now 0000. Like, what the fuck? Why did you tell me this information? I don't know how to put it into perspective.
So what do you think the message was on it? Like, the message, what do you think? Yeah.
The message was, I mean, that's just a minor thing. I meant like a bigger spectrum, right? But
yes.
that message was, the world, this whole COVID thing was actually happening for a reason. We are complaining, we are worried, people are dying.
Yes.
But it's actually a reset. It's like, imagine a factory, you just clear, you make new models.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we cannot take things personally. Of course, if it's our family members, we feel, we have emotion. I'm not like being stupid right now. Like, you know, it's just,
you're not saying it was a good thing or whatever. Yeah, I understand. But it's, you're saying it's something that we may not understand.
Yeah.
Because a human mind is stupid. Yeah.
Yeah, kind of limited.
It is limited. Yeah. It is limited.
Unless you unlock it, which,
like I said, you are a tiny fucking thing in the big universe.
Yeah, man.
So how can you think that you can understand the whole picture?
Yeah. Do you think, okay, so your mindset, your wavelength is sort of up here, right? Do you think it's important for you to find someone who's also up there as your partner in life, as your girlfriend or your wife?
Of course.
Yeah?
Yeah, of course. That's the thing. Until recently, I never fell in love. Did you fall in love?
Yeah.
I never did before.
Wow.
And I was thinking, like, you know, I had friends and they go on, have relationships, be happy, and I was thinking, you know, why can't I love someone, or why can't I feel something special? Like, of course you do feel something, but it's not love, you know it. And I was thinking, maybe it was kind of a defense mechanism from my childhood, because if I were to love someone, I knew that I was gonna say goodbye to that person, because I always moved. I changed my school, right?
Yeah.
And there's actually one thing that happened to me in grade one. It's a fucking funny story. Okay, so you see, we back in the day in public schools, there's this wooden fucking desks. Okay, you sit, two people sit together.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine, you sit on it, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then there's this girl next to me. She, like, no offense, but she was, you know, we say it karabucuk.
Karabucuk.
Yeah, it's basically means black. Black insect or something. I don't know how it happened, but I hold her hand like this in the desk, and it felt so great. You know, you just feel happy. Your stomach has
butterflies
on it, and you know, I'm feeling really great. I'm smiling to her. She's smiling to me. You're in grade one. You don't know what the hell is happening. You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just something, some experience that I had. And then we had a recess. She went out and came back. And I'm thinking, you know, we're going to hold our hands again. It's so childish. It's so pure, right? But whatever. And then she came to me, like she came looking sad and said, we can't do it.
Oh.
And I felt fucking heartbroken.
She's a fucking bitch. She broke my heart.
My little great one yeah. heart. And then maybe that was something traumatizing too. I don't know. But afterwards, I went to Russia and I fell in love
with a Russian girl.
With a Russian girl. We lived in the same house. It's a big, big story with a lot of juicy drama.
Uh-huh.
But it's what happened to me, like past years, that experience was something that learned me a lot. I feel like learned me quite a lot in that timeline of those 5 years.
Taught you something.
It taught me a lot. Yeah,
yeah, you grew.
Yeah, I grew. Yeah. I matured, and you know, it's just, I don't know. It was a different experience to love someone, and I came to Turkey, so we had to split up.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that what we wanted it from the future was different. Mm. I knew it wasn't going to work out. But even though you know it's not going to work out, you still have those feelings because you can't control those emotions. Also, I knew that, you know, you mentioned that the level.
Mm-hmm.
I also knew that she wasn't in that level.
Mm.
And I wish, and I know I will find that person sometime in the future. Mm. I don't know
You're still seeking.
Yeah, I know that person is gonna come. Like,
because you know why? I see a lot of people who don't mind that, who don't really care about that. You know, you're here, I'm here, okay, whatever. And does that mean like, if we're not physically together, let's say country wise, does that mean the relationship might not work out?
That's the thing. If I knew that she was the one. Then nothing can stop it. The distance, right?
It's a feeling, right? You can't lie to it. Sometimes the other person feels it and you don't feel it.
Like, I knew that we both love each other, right? But she wasn't the one.
You felt it?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I knew that I still didn't met her, the one. So, if she was the one, so what if there's a distance, you know? You can, if you really want it, then the distance is not a big problem. You can overcome it. Like, the love is a strong feeling. It's fucking strong. It's like, I feel like the greatest, the strongest emotion, even if not the most, one of the most strongest emotions that you can experience. It's like when I explain. When I talk about the time, like when I think about the times that I spent in Russia, for the past couple of years, I was the great happiest person of myself when I was spending time with her. And I was also the saddest, the depressedest person at the same time while I was spending time with her.
Yeah.
So it makes you feel the extremes of the spectrum.
The both sides, yeah,
the both sides.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's what matures you.
Yeah, you mentioned like you were in depressed state when you were with her. How do you overcome that depressing moment?
Well, you know, it's
did the separation help you feel less depressed, or was it when you were in a relationship you consciously tried to feel better?
So the thing was that I was depressed because she knew and I knew that we were gonna split up. Because of distance. And like I said, she wasn't the one, so...
You felt it?
I felt it, so I didn't want to... Like, the distance was gonna break us up. But she wanted not to get really attached. Because she knew that it was gonna really be tough on her. And it was gonna be tough on me. But we already lived in the same house, right? So it's another thing to, you know, fell in love and I feel like this. Maybe it's not true, but I feel like this that way. Even when you think about your friends, you may be, you know, really great, having great time with your friends. But when you move to same house, then it might change, you know, there will be conflict. There may not be, but it's different to live with someone, right?
Yeah.
So our mornings were together. We were, you know, getting up, eating breakfast together, and then when she wanted to not see each other, like she said, we shouldn't see each other because it's gonna be tough on me.
Yep.
Well, I was depressed. Yes.
The separation caused you a depression.
Yeah, and also like we had hard times, but it wasn't like bottom rock. And when I came to Turkey, it still was there, and you know, you think about it, maybe it's not gonna pass. I guess you do feel that way when it first happens to you, but it always passes.
It passes.
Like with time, everything passes. Everything passes.
God damn.
But you don't know it at that time. But I knew, like people say it, so it must be true. With time, I knew it was gonna pass, and it did.
Yeah, you know, like you as a Turkish man, I don't know. It might be different from you. It might be interesting answer too. Like you as a Turkish guy, do you think it's the hardest to flirt or to talk to a Turkish girl?
Or, yes.
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 Isn't that interesting?
It's so weird. Like maybe it's because I spent my, you know, flirty years in high school in Canada or something. I don't fucking know. You know, I always, I guess, flirted in English. Maybe that's the thing. And I think the Turkish girls are harder to flirt too.
Yeah.
The Canadians or the Russians are easier to flirt, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But goddamn, I can't flirt in Turkish. Like I can, but it's more comfortable to do it in English with a foreigner girl.
Yeah.
How did you know that?
No, I'm just an observant person. Because for me, for a foreigner, it's easier for me to flirt, to speak to a Turkish woman. It's like a cheat code, just because.
It is. That's why I don't quite like to live here. Like, because it's easy. Like, when you're a foreigner in somewhere, you are different.
Yeah.
You are all, like one step ahead. Not one, 10 step ahead. You know?
You got it right, man. Yeah.
And since you're a foreigner, I don't know why, but it gives you more self-confidence, I guess. At least it did to me. Like when you're talking with a Turkish girl, I feel less confident. But when I'm talking with a foreigner, I'm like, bada bim, bada boom, you know? Bam. But it's, I don't know,
magic,
it's hard.
Happens. Yeah. It's also like they are, I don't know why, they sell themselves higher, you know? You're Turkish, I'm not. You know, they play hard to get.
I think so.
Yeah. And then also, I spoke to someone about this just now. It's a weird cheat code, unspoken thing, but if you have a friend of a friend, they welcome you.
Yeah.
If you are a stranger, you just talk. You know, okay.
That's the thing.
That's a weird thing.
That's the thing, yeah. And when you're... That's what I learned. It's unspoken rules, I guess, that I wish someone teached me, because you don't know it and you gotta fucking live it and learn it. It takes your 6 months. But if someone just came up to you and told you that, everything was gonna be way easier.
Yeah, man.
So what I learned, if you are in a group of people and if it's, for example, first year, no one knows each other, go and say hi to everyone. Introduce yourself to everyone. Because if you don't, if you're just stuck with one person, let's say the conversation is great. You are talking with your school friend, university friend, whatever. There's other people meeting each other, but you stuck with one person. It's harder to say, hi, I am Tolga, nice to meet you, to other people, because they already interacted with some people. You are a foreigner to them, right?
They have a clique.
But if you were to say hi to everyone, and okay, nice to meet you, have a little chit chat, and okay, I will meet another person, go meet another person. You can always, after two days, 3 days, you can always go back to that first person and say, oh, how's it going? What did you do? But you can't do it unless you don't speak that to that person.
Yeah.
Because then it's gonna be weird. There's, you know, four friends sitting, talking, and there's one guy who you don't know comes up and say, hi, I am this. Like, who are you? Like, nice to meet you or whatever. But if you, you know, if you talk to that one person and that one person has four friends, you go there, hi, like we met, what did you do? Oh, this is your friends. And it's more welcoming. They're more welcoming, and you can sit and you can talk way easily.
Yeah.
That's what I learned in Canada.
Okay, this is where I give you a break, bro, and this is a chance where I give you I flip the script and let you ask me any question that you're curious about. Yeah. Anything at all on top of your mind.
I do have a lot of questions, cool. actually. Perfect. Because I don't know if I can put them in words right now, but I guess I can. So you mentioned your parents split up. Mm-hmm. So you still talk with them?
Yes, I'm closer to my mom. Actually, I'm singularly close to my mom all the while. So my dad left when I was 13.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, it wasn't hard. I've known the cliche story that when your parents split up, you feel the burden and all that. I didn't really feel it because I was close to my mom.
Yes.
I was still with my mom. Yes. My dad was the one who left.
Yes.
Yeah, that's basically it. I still talk to my dad every once in a while, but it's just he didn't contribute much in my
life.
Teenage life. Probably my childhood, yes. I remember the memories.
And it was good memories?
It was good memories. It was also challenging for my mom, you know, in a way. I remember that, but I wasn't mature enough to tell that because he had a restaurant.
Okay.
And my mom was taking care of the restaurant on behalf of him. Like, imagine split shift, right?
Yeah.
The dad, my dad took care of it, and then my mom had to be there as well the whole time.
Right.
So it's kind of physically draining. As a kid, I saw that.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't even my mom's choice, right? And
right.
she had to do that. But that wasn't a big deal. I think it was it was an experience for her. She grew as a person as well. It's none of my control. She's getting slightly older. Like, her paranoia with COVID doesn't help me as a traveler. So I just have to
ease her up.
Yeah, ease her up. And I can't really include her so much in my activities, because in her mind, because also Malaysia, where I'm from, people are still paranoid about it.
The COVID.
And
so when you tell her you work at this place, a lot of crowded people, you can't tell her that, because she's gonna get corona.
I told her, but I
don't give the details.
Okay? I will not update her. Like, hey, I'm not wearing mask. Hey, I'm not doing this. Hey, I'm swimming with a lot of people in this beach, you know, for example. And yeah, that's okay. That was your question.
Yeah.
Yeah, ties down to that. Yeah, I'm close to my mom. It didn't really affected me. It made me. But my trauma came from my brothers. First of all, I'm 28. How young are you?
You're 28?
Yeah.
God damn.
You're 20? Are you 20?
I'm 21.
21. Ah, okay. It doesn't make a lot of difference.
But like, you're 28.
Yeah.
You look like 21.
Yeah, yeah. People have told me that. Imagine if I shave, I look 18, bro.
God damn.
Yeah.
Fuck.
But bro, let me tell you something. Age sort of stopped at 25.
That's true. That's
true. It's crazy. Now you feel it. Now you feel the growth.
Yeah.
I mean, we grow as a person. Yeah. But you feel you stop being old after 25.
Yeah, because the exponential growth kind of stops, right? A lot of changes happen before 20s, and in mid-20s you change a lot, and then you kind of who you are, your personality kind of stops. So does everyone's. So it doesn't really different for someone who is 35 and who is also 30. It doesn't really or 28.
I mean it is their experiences accumulatively changes them, but them internally, because I remember
their
when
personality
how they feel. They feel young.
Yes,
like they're 40, but they feel 25 too.
Mm.
I feel like everyone feels 25. It's just whether
it's just your body is older.
Yeah,
your mindset.
Yeah, it sort of adapts to your age or not, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But what I'm trying to say, my brother is 24. I'm 28.
So your older brothers are
like 40 old. Something.
And you are the only one who chose this path, right?
Yeah,
all in Malaysia.
Yeah,
doing the regular.
Yeah,
things.
I'm literally the black sheep of the family, which. Which I don't know if something to be proud of, but I hope I turn out well at the end.
Well, you know, I feel like you're a very modest person.
What?
Modest person.
Modest.
Like, you're not, you don't like to brag. And you don't want to see yourself there and sell yourself, right? You're modest, right?
Yeah.
And that's why you're saying, you know, I was a black sheep. I don't know if I want to be proud of it, but you like that you've done this, right? You feel special.
I have to do it, you know? Uh-huh. I kind of have to do it because I feel like... I feel I'm lying to myself if I don't do it. Whatever path that I chose, you know? Yeah. Okay, I can quietly fit in and sit down and like eat with the family, yay. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it's I want to throw this plate, you know? That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where was I going with this? Yeah, my teenage trauma. So since my dad left, these brothers, they were trying to be the father figure.
Yes, true.
But they were 20-something. Imagine I'm 20-something. That's a 14-year-old boy. You just want to teach them everything about life where your life is not figured out.
Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah, it's hard. And also, it's traumatized for that child, which is me. I have too much information.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't need to know what I need to know at 30. I'm 14. Let me be a kid.
Yeah, that's so true. That's something else to you. Sometimes you just want to be a teenager and sometimes you just want to be a kid, play stupid games, right?
Yeah, exactly. But
you just want to be a kid. You don't want that whole other shit.
Yeah. Because like as a teenager, you can't tell a teenager that you're wasting your time playing video games.
Yeah.
Okay, if I'm 45, okay, you can tell me that. I'm 14, let me play the video game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
Yes. It's just that it creates unnecessary worries for me. Like, oh, am I wasting my time? Am I? But then I broke out of it. The further I left, the easier it gets for me away from the
Because you are growing up as a person, too. Mm-hmm. You're learning more things. You have more skills to achieve the harder problems.
Yeah. Which is what I find interestingly common and similar between you and me. Our parents are separated. We choose what lessons we want to accumulate, what we want to bring into our bags, you know, the pot of gold that we want.
Yes.
Which makes us a better person. And you're 21. Honestly, when I was 21, I was doing the same thing in New Zealand, like traveling type thing.
Uh-huh. What you do right now?
Yeah. And I felt like it was yesterday. And when I remember when I was traveling and I met a 28, 30-year-old guy, I'm like, whoa, I feel the same, you know? But now that I'm 28, I realize
that's not a big deal.
It's not a big deal. And also, there's a lot of shredding of ego. You know, when you're 21, 22, 23, you feel like the world revolves around you. Like, you want to discover the world, sort of. I don't know how you feel about this. That's how I felt at
least. Yeah, me too.
And then when I'm 28 right now, or maybe I will feel this differently later on, I feel like, shit, it doesn't matter at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're learning, yes, but it's a mind game.
It's not a race.
It's not a race. It's you versus you, you know? Whatever you want to do with it. But it's easier said than done, though. Because when I'm surrounded with society, when they ask you, when are you getting married? Where's your girlfriend?
Yeah.
Why do you have a stable job? It troubles you, too.
It's because of people's minds are basically... people are brainwashed.
Yeah.
Most of them are not
programmed.
Free.
Yeah. Because that's how they know things.
They're stuck in a wheel.
Yeah.
Yeah. You gotta go to school, learn shit, be good at it, get a job, have a family.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, it's comfortable to do that. But it's uncomfortable to go to another country, volunteer, work. And you don't know what's going to happen in the future. What happens if you don't have any money? You're stuck in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
What happens if that happens? You know, you're scared. So that's why you obey the rules. That's why you obey to get brainwashed.
Mm-hmm.
You don't open your eyes because you're scared.
Yeah, also, sometimes they think of what other people think too much. You
that's
know?
True. And I do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm saying. Some fuckers are lucky that they don't feel... they don't care what other people think. But I do inside. But I try not to care.
Mm-hmm.
And about the ego thing, I feel like after my experience with LSD, I feel like your ego shrinks and you kind of say, well, we're all people, you know?
Man. Thanks for the question, bro. That's a great insight from you as well.
Yeah.
And yeah, lastly, bro... how do you want the world to remember you as when it's all said and done? I know it's too early to tell. We are still 21. But if you could manifest something that you want to create into reality, like for example, what you did with your Istanbul University acceptance, how would you want the world to remember you as?
Well, Koga? That's what I was thinking from childhood. I don't know what future brings, but not everyone as a Nobel Peace Prize.
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone creates PayPal, SpaceX, or, you know, not everyone is Bill Gates.
Mm-hmm.
So you may not be in the history books, right? So what happens when you die if you didn't have any impact on the world? And it's okay to not have an impact in the world. It's okay. But I feel like what is important is to have an impact on people's mind.
Hmm.
Because when you die, you're not going to be dead until your friends, the people that you have impact on. For example, when I became 90, let's say if I do, I will still remember you. And if you were to die, I will carry your, you know, legacy.
Mm-hmm.
I had this guy, and you know, you will still be living here. You still have this, have an impact on this world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I feel like I put a lot of value in relationships that I have with other people. I try to be, you know, a great guy. I like to have impact on their lives because of this. Because when I die, what's gonna happen? Maybe nothing is gonna happen, but I like to be remembered as, oh, this guy Tolga, like, he was a great guy, you know, this and that.
You know what, man, like, coming to Turkey was one of the best decisions I made in like early 2020. And seeing the diversity and the people that I met so far is crazy, man. It's really underrated, and I wish the whole world sees and get to experience what I experienced, man.
Right? Do you feel like the Turkish people are like a little different? Like,
so much different, and
right?
And so underrated. You know what that means? Like,
yeah.
No one knows about it.
Yes.
And and the perspective of the world is so different towards it, and you guys, I mean, they speak different languages.
Yeah.
And the movies are so interesting.
Yeah.
And the women are so beautiful. The food is so good.
Yes.
The atmosphere, the geography, everything is perfect.
Yeah.
And like you said earlier,
they're just ruled by stupid people. That's the problem.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Every state feels different when you go to Turkey too.
That's right. You know what I mentioned about, like,
yeah,
the culture is different in every places. That's true.
Man, it's crazy. Different. Yeah. So different. Thank you so much, man.
Thank you too, man.
It was fun experiences. Fun experience doing this with you.
Mm-hmm.
And just so you know, the listeners who are listening, we share the same bunk bed.
Yeah, it's, it like sometimes kicks me when I snore. That's a lie, by the way.
Yeah, it's a great memory.
It happens here. I'm really glad that we did this.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much, bro.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And looking forward to just hang out with you in this, within these 3 weeks while I'm still here. Yeah. Cheers, bro. Hello, hello, kopi or Milo.
Drink it a lot, okay. But I drink it when I need it.
Nice.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, too much coffee is not a good thing too.
No.
Sure. Cheers, man. Thank you.